stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome, welcome everyone to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I am Sam.
And we're so glad you decided to spend the time today to join us. Brother Sam, where has the Lord led you to lead us today?
Well, we're going to continue with Hebrews and finish off the book, the last chapter, chapter 13, and that's what we're going to do.
Awesome, awesome. Well, with that, I'm going to open up in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, O Lord. We thank you for everything. You are the creator of all creation. We're so blessed to be here in your word, listening to your truth, and sharing this truth with the world around us. We ask, O Lord, that you use this time to your glory, your magnification, and we lift it up to you, and we ask in the name of Jesus that you work on people that are listening, and allow them to be blessed by it, and that your church is edified by it, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. So with Hebrews, you know, it went in and talked about the dangers and the warning from the very beginning about don't being deceived. We must not fall away. It went through the example of Israel when they got brought out of Egypt, how they didn't continue, and so God destroyed them. He tested them to know what was in their heart. He then said the same gospel that was preached to them was preached to us, and that we must not follow the same example of their disobedience. It's sin that hardens the heart. It's sin that results in the disobedience and the withholding of the good and the promise of God, that we are to be a different people, a new people, a people that can serve God from the heart. Went in and talked about the people who had become dull of hearing and why, that they thought they could continue to lay again a foundation of over and over repenting from dead works and relaying and having faith to God, repenting from dead works and faith to God. He says, no, it cannot be that way. You cannot be an infant. You must be the perfect man. And I talked about the warning about having no reward. But he says, but we're confident that God will complete this for you. We continued and looked at the new covenant in Christ. The law made nothing perfect. There had to be something that could do a perfect work. That's why Christ had to come. But the perfect work is the good heart, the perfect heart, the cleansed conscience, so that we no longer continue to live as a slave of sin, but of the new man, bearing the fruit of righteousness. We talked about the great men of faith and how through faith, living and doing impossible works, overcoming sufferings unheard of through the power of God. We talked about those who became sons of God, that heeded to the discipline of God and came into obedience and were able to keep the commands of God, all from the new heart. It's the power of God and the Spirit of God, not by our strength, but by His strength, by God's will. And so now here we're at the end, the final closing of chapter 13. And so with those who have become obedient sons, whose paths have been turned from crooked to straight, we're now to continue. And what type of a life? What's verse 1?
Let brotherly love continue.
Continue in the love. Continue in the love of God. Philadelphia. We're to show hospitality to strangers. It says some have entertained angels and haven't even known it. Imagine that. Sometimes you may entertain an angel and not even know it. We're to remember prisoners as though we are in prison with them. Do we do that? Do we pray for those who are true sons of God suffering for the name of Christ? Those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. We're all of one body. How is the marriage to be held in verse 4?
Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
See, God will judge those people. You cannot still be that person. You used to be that person. Such were some of us, but we are washed, cleansed, sanctified. No longer that person. You used to be that person. The old man. The old man is not the new man. We walk differently. What's verse 5?
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
That's right. We have God, that's all we need. We don't need the other things. God is our helper. What can man do to us? In verse 6.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
Those who previously spoke the word of God were to imitate something of them. What is it in verse 7?
Remembering them which I have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation.
That's right. We're to follow and imitate their faith. Talks about Christ. Christ doesn't change. He doesn't change. So there's a warning. We must
Jesus
not be.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Verse 9, what must we not be carried away with?
We should not be carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein.
This gets back to what food or word? Are we feeding off of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God or the words of man? There are many people who deceive. They don't have truth. We must come to the true words of God so we can truly find salvation and faith of what God says. It goes back and gives a summary of Christ. Just as the blood when they would take the bodies of the animals whose blood is brought into the holy place, they would take them outside for the sin offering, and they'd burn them outside the camp. So in verse 12, it said Christ also had to suffer outside the gate. And so it says in verse 13 that what are we to do?
Therefore, let us go up unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach.
That's right. It says we're to go outside the camp. We're to bear the reproach. We're to suffer also for Christ, just as we read that several times in 1 Peter chapter 2. What purpose have we been called for? To suffer, but not to suffer while we continue in sin. That's not pleasing to God, but to suffer for doing what is right. The same purpose that Christ suffered is our same purpose. That's at the end of chapter 2. And again in chapter 4, 1 Peter repeats it. As Christ suffered, you know, the one who suffered is ceased from sin. Arm yourself with the same purpose as Christ. The one who suffered has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. And it goes back. Jesus said, those who do the will of my Father will enter into the kingdom of heaven. We read earlier in Hebrews, he doesn't want burnt offerings and sacrifice, but he wants us to do the will of God.
Verse 14, for here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
And so what are we to do? What's the sacrifice that we're to do in verse 15?
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name.
Now, there's many examples we've covered in the past where people praise the name of God, but he rejects them because they continue to bring their sin with them. God wanted to cleanse you from your sin. You come to be cleansed, not to continue to come again and again and again. Well, then, what were you cleansed with? What power do you have? What new creation were you made into? Do not neglect doing good. Do not neglect doing good. We're to continue in good, the good of God, and sharing for that with such sacrifices God is pleased. Not to do evil, but good. You know, real quick, 1 Peter talks about the blessing in 1 Peter chapter 3. Right? Who inherits the blessing? Not the one who continues to do evil. Not the one who can't bridle his tongue. No, that one isn't blessed. You see, he says, the one who desires, one, we aren't to return evil for evil. And this is chapter 3, verse 9 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We are not to return evil for evil. Not insult for insult, but we're to give a blessing instead. For we've been called for this purpose, that we might inherit a blessing. Who is the one who inherits a blessing in verse 10, 11, those two verses?
For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. ensue, meaning follow after.
That's right. So the tongue must no longer have evil. The tongue must no longer speak deceit. We must turn away from evil, and we must now do good. Now, it's not under our strength or our power. It's the new creation, the new man, the Spirit of God. We're to seek peace and pursue it. And in verse 12, it says, because the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who continue to do evil. You cannot continue to have evil. You can't. God won't allow it. If you do, I must ask, what seed were you born of? Or were you never born of the new seed, but are still a slave of the old one, the corrupt one? So as he starts to close in chapter 13, we're to obey leaders and submit to them. They keep watch over our souls. And verse 18 says, pray for us. What does he say they have in verse 18?
Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly.
That's right. So he's saying that the people that were writing to these people, he says, we have a good conscience. Remember, we covered earlier in Hebrews that God wants to give us the good heart or the good conscience. He wants to cleanse it, cleanse the conscience or cleanse the heart so that we can now be serve God in truth. Having been cleansed from dead works, we can now serve God. They're saying, these people who are writing, they said, we have a good conscience. They also desire to conduct themselves honorably in all things, all things. So he says, I urge you all the more to do this. He's writing to these people, say, I urge you to do this so that I may be restored to you sooner. And what does he say in closing in verse 20 and 21?
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
So whose power is it?
Clearly it's Jesus.
Yeah, it's the power that comes from God through Christ.
Yep.
It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not our work. It's not our effort. It's the proof of God's power and his Spirit in us. It is that Spirit which does the work, and it only knows one type of work to do, a good work, a perfect will work, to do the will of God, as we've been covered, the holy living sacrifice, proving the will of God, all that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. We work in all those things that are pleasing in the sight of God through Jesus Christ. And this is the truth.
And all of those works will lead to his glory.
So he says, again in verse 22, I urge you, brethren, bear this word of exhortation. I've written to you briefly. See, this was a short letter. We broke this up, but you see, the book of Hebrews was a short letter. He says, I've only written to you briefly. You need to bear this word. You need to bear this word of exhortation. Reflect on all the book of Hebrews. Go back and listen to it and reflect upon it. We must bear this. It is an exhortation for our exhortation. Father, we thank you for your word, O God. We thank you that it's your power that does its work. We know that your work and your Spirit only does one type of work. Oh, Father, let us continue to live in your righteousness, continually, oh God, serving you in obedience to the Spirit of God, letting your fruit and the fruit of the Spirit have reign of our life as we reflect a pure and holy light, proving the will of God in our lives. We thank you for the work that you do, oh God, and that you are to have your way with us. Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Sam, before we close out today, let's just remind the audience of a fundraiser campaign we have for Pastor Daniel in Kenya. We encourage everyone to go back and listen to his testimony episode, which was, I believe, episode 25 or in that range. We're trying to raise some money to assist him in his housing situation. In Kenya right now, things are pretty dire. COVID has done a lot of, it's hurt a lot of us. And quite frankly, many of you may have lost your business or lost a lot of your income, or you're just now getting back on your feet, as am I. But we're going to partner with you, and we have this fundraiser campaign. We encourage you to go to our website, warriorsforchrist.podomatic.net, and on the bottom right-hand side, there's a link. You may go to that, and if the Lord leads you to assist in that matter, there's an opportunity to do that. Just wanted to make you aware of that and partner with us in helping him in that matter.
Yeah, and I'll add this to it. I got convicted to add this. When you look at the principles of giving and Corinthians, it doesn't say that the principles of giving is for one group to give for the affliction of one and for the ease of another. It says no. It says out of your excess you give so that those who have don't have too much and those who have little, you know, don't have too little. The giving is not to put a burden on someone, but it's the principles of giving is for people who have excess to help others. So this is not for the affliction of those. Sometimes it frustrates me when I see people go around saying, oh, everybody has to tithe and this and this. And we'll probably do it one day, an episode on that to cover. There's so much distortion and misunderstanding of tithing that people don't even know. But it's not for the affliction of people. You see, people who are in need are to receive. They're to receive. So it's only if God has put it on your heart and you're in a position where God has given you an extra abundance, that you have an extra supply, that you can use that to bless somebody else. So yeah, amen. God bless everyone.
Have a nice day.
We hope this weekly program helped rekindle your zeal to know, love, and serve Christ day by day. If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.